With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone. Happy Bachelorette Monday.
Yay! Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
We're two black-ass girls invade the whitest show on earth, The Bachelorette. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And we just watched, in my opinion, a boring as hell episode, but Justine thinks otherwise.
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I think I'm going to enjoy this season because my husband's there, so you can't really trust my opinion.
Mike is great. He is really great. Fantastic. Any moments with him in this episode, I thoroughly appreciated. There were like moments of substance. Mm-hmm. He's either saying something very substantive or he just looked beautiful. So,
Yep.
Love Mike. A shout out to the absolutely horrifying state of Alabama, home of Rachel B, where this past week, Hannah B, what'd I say?
Rachel B.
Oh, whatever. Hannah, Becky, somebody. Home of Hannah B, for this past week, the horrifying state of Alabama entered an episode of Handmaid's Tale when their Senate filled with a group of, I'm just gonna go out on a limb here and say, racist, sexist, evil white men.
Yeah, I was just gonna say white supremacists.
Oh yeah, that too.
All up.
Yep. Who are led by a female governor, Kay Ivey. Who look like an old
75.
Bag of dust.
She's 75 years old. Why are you still working?
Why are you making decisions about my life when your ass about to be dead anytime soon? Her big old bag of dust self. She looked like the old scary lady from Poltergeist. You remember the movie Poltergeist?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? The like medium woman? That's exactly what fucking Governor Kay Ivey looked like. Ugh. That bitch signed a new law banning abortion, making it a felony to perform an abortion, even in cases of rape and incest. Alabama's stance on abortion is now literally on par with countries like Libya, Syria, Niger, Brunei, countries that have just full-on human rights issues. Yeah. And we have a state in our country that is just turning back the clock so damn far and just not giving a shit about women's rights at all. It's just horrifying.
It's always confused me why this is a political issue.
The biggest confusion. Why is my body being discussed and my choice of what I need to do with my body being discussed?
Like, what is the root of this? How did this start? Like, I need to look more into this because
I believe it's based in like the evangelical right. They're pro-life, protecting sanctity of life, whatever the fuck. It's foolishness. Yeah. I don't even know what the hell they be talking about because it don't make no damn sense to me, and I don't even try to get into that mindset because my body is not up for discussion. But in Alabama, it is. And so, really sad to hear.
And what's the child support situation in Alabama?
the child support?
Yeah, like, if you don't pay child support, what happens to you? Do you also go to jail for 99 years?
Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. You okay, probably Alabama. Okay.
Alabama, you can walk, I'm sure, into Walmart and buy all kind of guns and ammunition and shit.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
With no penalty. Mm-hmm. But God forbid you got raped by a family member. Jesus Christ. Ugh. So that happened. Really curious where Hannah B. stands.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, initial thoughts, Justine?
Oh my God, on a happy note.
Oh my God.
Initial thoughts. Last week we had a listener in our church announcements who said that Hannah B. was picked because she was essentially picked by the producers to manipulate. That listener was absolutely correct, mm-hmm. because this young lady will fall for anything.
Anything
that anybody says. And I think she got through Colton season, like, by chance. And so she doesn't really know the formula, while other people kind of pick up on the formula a little bit faster.
Yeah.
But I realized that she gave the two villains her two first roses.
She did.
Like, she is.
How are Cam and Luke P already front runners?
They're front runners. And I'm like, okay. Like, So I don't even know who, I mean, obviously I have a favorite, but I don't even know who else to really root for.
Yeah.
Because the focus is on these two guys who mm-hmm. she has shoved in our faces.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then second initial thought is that Mike is definitely going to, like, be the straw that stirs the drink this season. He uh-huh. is going to be the one to tell on everybody. He's going to tell it to your face. Uh-huh. He doesn't care. He'll whoop your ass anyway. He doesn't care in front of Hannah because he hopefully will be the bachelor. And then I will be his wife so he don't have to worry about her. Like, this is just all a plan.
Mike's going to be the bone collector.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Spilling all the tea.
Not the bone
throwing
collector.
Throwing every skeleton out of everybody's closet.
Not She by Sheree. Oh, by Sheree.
No.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Yeah, those are my initial thoughts. What about you?
Yeah, I feel like we still know nothing about these guys beyond their cast bios.
Mm-mm.
I mean, granted, it's still only the second episode, but we did get a one-on-one date with Tyler, and we learned literally nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing about him, nothing about her.
Mm-mm.
They showed no footage of any conversation of substance aside from them saying over and over, you know, I want to open up, I want to be vulnerable, mm-hmm. like having conversations around conversations.
Right, around talking about things.
Around talking about their feelings, but not actually talking about their feelings. Very strange.
Mm-hmm.
We're, as you said, getting super saturated with Cam and Luke P nonsense. It's already starting the terrible editing where we don't get to see half the people in the house, but we get to see so too much footage of two people that you just, like, cannot stand.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
For me personally, I didn't have any Hannah used her words moment. tried desperately to find one. Couldn't get it. Hannah's desperation for marriage and kids. She herself is still maturing and, like, with each episode, she's, like, building her confidence. It's just, the whole thing just feels so backwards.
It's really
hard to root for, I mean, my feelings on her aside, it's still just hard to root for her because mm-hmm. we don't know anything about her past aside from pageants.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't really talked about past relationships, really. Like,
no, yeah,
has she been
true.
Like burned in the past? Like, why does she deserve this? Like, how is she ready for this? What was her last boyfriend like? What was the last relationship like? What's her family? Like, her parents married, divorced, separate?
Yeah,
like, we don't really know.
Yeah, we don't know.
I feel like I'm watching her journey for love with no context. Like,
yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about that, which is terrible. I, like, brushed her off, but yeah.
Yeah. At least, like, I feel like past people, you at least knew, like, you know, they were the child of divorced parents or the mom, you know, passed mm-hmm. away. Like, something about the family life. We know nothing about her family.
Mm-mm.
Or, like, how she's come to be so rooted in finding a husband in marriage. Like, her parents married 50 years or her parents divorced. Like, where does she get this, like, thrive and thirst for marriage? Like, we know nothing. So.
And what does it mean to her to be married and to be a mom?
Yeah, because she keeps saying, like, I want a husband, I want to have babies, all that stuff. But it's like, what does that mean to you?
Yeah,
like,
why?
Why? Tell me anything. Yeah. Jesus. So I'm still trying to give it a chance because it's only the second episode, but they better hurry some, like, hurry it up because you want us to invest in her love story, but we know nothing about this girl. So those are my thoughts. As always, please rate, review, subscribe.
Yay!
Patreon, turn your notifications on so when we upload the new episode, it comes straight to your app. Hit us up on Twitter. We live tweet every Monday. The number 2 BLK girls, the number 1 rose.
And you can email us at the number 2 black girls, the number 1 rose at gmail.com. We have plenty of call outs during our episodes to say, hey, email us if this and that. And we have special church announcements for special stories. So shoot us an email. Hit us up on Instagram, too. The number 2 black girls, the number 1 rose on there. And Facebook.
Screenshot yourself listening to us through Patreon right now.
Yeah.
And tag us in your story. Share us with the world. All right. So before we get into the recap, Justine.
Oh.
I know you got some lovely church announcements.
We do. We do have a couple
Take
of this
Take us
week.
To church that is nowhere near the evangelical race.
So this week we have Taylor who emailed us an interesting story about how she was in drama class in college. And a lot of athletes were in drama class because they were performing. So it was that same kind of element of being in front of people and doing what you love, but with no expectations. There wasn't an expectation to win anything. So a lot of them felt it as kind of like a therapeutic one credit, easy win for a class, which is really cool and interesting. Never thought about it that way. And so from that experience that she had, she wasn't surprised that Tyler was an athlete. I think that's his name. Tyler, right? 1940s James.
Tyler.
JFK.
Yes, Tyler C.
Tyler C.
Yeah, JFK.
Yeah, she wasn't surprised.
So he maybe was a dance minor.
Maybe.
Interesting.
And then Jamia had a really interesting in-depth email about dating in Atlanta.
So interesting.
She was there for her early and late 20s and was even in a relationship, but she said that men and women are who are like professionally driven are so rare that they kind of bounce around and date whoever they want. A lot of people in Atlanta are kind of like, you know, it's like the Black Hollywood. So people are looking to act, reality show, Instagram model, boot camps, this, that, whatever.
Like on the scene.
But then she also threw in, which I didn't even consider as part of a dating life, that the cost of living is so low that everybody is balling.
Everybody is stunting in Atlanta.
Everybody.
Everybody. And their house costs like $150,000. Yes. It's so cheap. But you can stunt.
You can. Yeah, absolutely. There was, even on Real Housewives of Potomac this week, one of their houses was $150,000. Like, that's how much they cost down there to live in a nice house. And so she said because of that, the standard is so low. So you could be dating, you know, a Foot Locker manager. And you have a PhD and an MBA. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but if you are looking to date someone along the same academic or professional lines as you, it's very difficult to find that in Atlanta. So yeah, really, really interesting in-depth email. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that.
I also think in Atlanta, I don't know if she said this in her email or if I'm just making this shit up, but that they have like a higher ratio of women to men.
Oh yeah, probably.
Is it one of those cities? Yeah. And then, as you said, with like educational attainment, like women probably out have quote unquote out educated the men too. So that is like a whole nother level. If you're like, you know, women with multiple degrees trying to date these fucking
SoundCloud rapper, like no
SoundCloud rapper,
probably
running $10
owns his condo, like. you know?
Yeah. Oh, God. She also, another part that I thought was interesting in her email, she talked about her experience going natural in Atlanta.
Oh, my God, yes,
and, like,
yes.
The perception of men. Because Atlanta is, like, land of wig the capital wigs. Of the world.
Yes.
Wigs, a good frontal. Yes. Everybody's hair is laid and slayed and looks bomb. So I can even imagine going natural in them places, that part where the men there are just used to seeing hair that just, like, is long and swinging.
But that is so crazy to me, because your hair is long and swinging, but then when you get that girl, and when you really get that girl, she takes that hair off.
Some girls, I feel like there's some girls out there that their men do not see them without their wig. I don't know about that life, because Nate helped me take out my braids one night, so he knows exactly what I look like. But I feel like there are women who are just so attached to their wig and weaves, I could totally see them not ever showing their natural hair.
Oh my God, that's a horrible existence.
So they're like, yeah.
Oh my God.
Like, they plan it so their wash day is, like, a specific day, or they do back-to-back weaves, or...
Oof.
I could see that, particularly in Atlanta. It's such a hair capital.
Yeah, you could probably so easily get your hair done there, or have somebody come to your house.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I feel like it's because you mentioned it's like a stunting kind of city, that, like, having your hair laid and slayed is, like, part of your, like, you can't be going out looking crazy, or you can't go out with, like, a bad hair day, or, like, in between, you have, like, you're just rocking your natural hair. Like, I could see people just back-to-back doing wigs on you.
Oh, my God.
Which is... Shout out to Harlem. Everybody's natural. I
know, right? Shout out to just, the East Coast, really. I don't know about the West Coast, how you guys are, but everybody's just doing their own thing over here.
Well, all right. Well, is that it for church announcements?
That's it for church announcements.
All right, well, we do have some Bachelor Nation news.
Spill the tea.
Quickly. So, firstly, the ratings came in for Miss Hannaby's premiere, and the premiere hit a record low for the Bachelor franchise season premieres. The episode was down 7% from Becca's season and their target demographic, and down 15% in total viewers.
15.
That's a big drop. And just to give you the raw numbers, so people love to say that Rachel, Black Bachelorette, she had the worst season ratings, yada, yada, yada. That is a farce. That is not
fake
true.
News.
Numbers don't lie. Rachel's premiere had 5.66 million viewers. Becca's premiere had 5.5 million viewers. So the ratings dropped for Becca's season as well. And then Hannah came in at a 4.77. So... rough.
Dang.
So we'll see, but shout out to Rachel.
Shout out to Rachel always.
Stop seeing all these things, so. Another piece of news. So we're in another season of The Bachelorette, and we have yet another problematic Garrett.
Shout out to everybody who tweeted us, emailed, Facebooked, all that stuff about Garrett 2.0.
Garrett Kushner 2.0. Now, the minute I saw his name and saw he's from Alabama, I already said nope.
And his profession. And
so,
was
he
golfer.
The golf caddy? Yeah, nah. It's a hard no. So, of course, the sleuths of Reddit got to work and discovered Garrett Kushner 2.0 here, liking some Republican ass tweets and shit, or Instagram. Just not a shocker.
Did
at
he
all,
post it or like it?
He liked one specific one that's going around on Reddit, where it's a post that says, "Let's break the internet. There are only two genders." Check mark. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. Check mark. Donald Trump is a very good president. Check mark. Just disgustingness. And he is right there liking his picture, showing it, everything.
Oh, God.
Speaking of more problematic, just bachelorness, there was a little beef this week between Hannah, Kelly Ripa, Mike Fleiss, producer of The Bachelorette and The Bachelor, and my girl, Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy, who I always loved. So Kelly Ripa, she's on, you know, Live with Kelly and Ryan, mm-hmm. Ryan Seacrest, and she is famously not a fan of the Bachelor franchise and recently called the show creepy and gross. Mm. So Hannah, now she's on her press tour, so she went on the show, mm-hmm. and Kelly Ripa was not shy about her thoughts and told her, I'm pretty against the show. I don't like women fighting over a guy. I think it's weird, sets us back, yada yada. And Hannah, defended it, gave her little PC answer. Mm-hmm. Now, Mike Fleiss, producer of the show, who is known for being just reckless and messy and unfiltered.
He is messy.
On Twitter. Very. He tweeted out, "Hey, Kelly Ripa, easy, Kelly Ripa, the Bachelor franchise pays your salary."
What a lie.
Thank you. Live with Kelly was, who, wasn't it Kelly and Regis?
It was, it was Regis and Kelly.
Regis and Kelly, which was on air, 15 years ago. Yep. So she's mm-hmm. been here the same long time as your ass, Mike Fleiss, mm-hmm. with The Bachelor, mm-hmm. making her own money, collecting her own checks. So right. don't come here with this.
Also, I don't know exactly how many plate she has spinning, but I'm sure Kelly Ripa has multiple incomes. So, Mike, if she is not live with Ryan Seacrest, I'm sure she'll find another job, or mm-hmm. she'll just have her other money coming in. What?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure she's selling all kinds of foolishness on HGTV. HSN. You know she's selling all kind of sterling silver foolishness and creams and anti-wrinkle creams and whatever.
Rayon ponchos. Mm-hmm.
Making all kinds of non-bachelor money. So
go
sit somewhere. And then Ellen Pompeo, shout out to her.
She's the best.
She is that bitch.
She is. She's with the shits.
Zero fucks. She just quickly inserted herself into this conversation. And for those of you who don't know, Ellen Pompeo, why she is that bitch, is because she recently spoke out rather vigorously in the interview, a video interview she did with Porter Magazine, where they're talking about the lack of diversity in Hollywood. And mm-hmm. she flat out said that she's so disappointed by the lack of people of color in this very room, literally in the middle of the interview. And flat out said it is the responsibility of white people to speak up about this. And was literally preaching and living her truth right there in that video interview. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And an ally that, if anyone is curious on how to be an ally, go watch Ellen Pompeo videos, because she's really out here.
Yeah.
But anyway, she chimed into this conversation that had nothing to do with her, but she just had to insert herself and said, "Okay, Mike Fleiss, that's some handle, bro. Your show does not pay Kelly Ripa's salary. Also, we don't attack successful women on our network, and men certainly cannot take credit for their success. Don't get me started on your show, because I'm savage. Hashtag Bachelor So White." Love it. So she went from the women's angle to then was segueing into, you want to get into it? I can read you up and down about how fucking white this show is. So shout out to Ellen Pompeo. We might have to tweet at her. If she's a, if she watches the show, follow us. Support us on Patreon. that was pretty juicy, and I'm glad that the conversation about the lack of diversity in The Bachelor is still just out there. It's not just us.
Yes.
We're still out here talking about it, because how long has the show been on air, and it's still getting away with being so blatantly white on the same network as Grey's Anatomy, which is one of the most diversely cast shows ever.
Yeah. And Blackish and all the rest of it. And I'm just glad it's not just us and Rachel hosting this conversation, hosting this dialogue. It can't just be us and Rachel.
It can't just be us, and white people need to start speaking up about it. It can't be just the black people talking, or the people of color talking about it. Come on. Mm-hmm. They don't be listening to us. They listen to your asses, so start talking. Right. Well, thank you, Ellen. That's it for Bachelor Nation News. Should we go into
the recap?
So we open up and Hannah is saying to the camera that she's ready for some real conversations. I want to understand what makes you you. I want the real good real.
What she got none of this whole 2 hours.
not an ounce of real or a conversation or. Yeah, that was not the theme of this episode, Hannah, unfortunately.
Not that we saw.
Not that we saw, nope. At least. Meanwhile, the guys are running around the mansion. They're all excited. It's the first, like, official week of dates and things like that. Luke P. Mm-hmm. already talking a big talk. Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to have a family with her. I already see it coming. I already see it coming to life in my mind.
Mm-mm.
That is a lot. Chris Harrison comes in, drops off a date card. A whole bunch of guys going on the date. Grant, Luke S.,
yeah.
Mike, Jed, Jonathan, John Paul, Dylan, Luke P. The card says, I'm looking for Mr. Wright. So the guys head off on their date. They meet Hannah at a theater. And she said that for today, she wanted to bring the guys into her world. And suddenly up on stage, Miss J.
Miss J.
Who I fucking love. Definitely one of my favorite GIF people of all time.
Yeah.
Every GIF of Miss J is like such a winner. But it was Miss J and Alaska and Alyssa Edwards from RuPaul's Drag Race, which is a show I don't watch.
Me either, and I should get into it, but like I'm always busy on Thursday. I don't know.
It has a whole culture around it. I just feel so left out. Mm-hmm. And I know Alaska. I didn't know Alyssa Edwards, but I've definitely seen or heard of Alaska. I think I've seen on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they, like, tour in New York and stuff. Like, we go see them.
So anyways, they're there with Miss J. They all come out, and they announce that the guys are going to be competing in the Mr. Wright pageant. So the guys, there's like two categories. There's a runway walk where they have to wear Speedos. So they're all picking out their Speedos.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a talent portion. So the guys kind of go off into their corners and they're like figuring out what they're going to do. Alaska and Alyssa are kind of going around. My favorite moment was your boy, Mike.
Who, is a size 15 shoe.
I knew
you. I'll just let you all know.
I hate you. I knew you. If anything you heard that size 15. You nasty little.
The longest my notes just said Mike Johnson is a size 15 shoe was the title of my notes.
Wow.
Woo.
So Mike, his size 15 red stilettos. He was putting on.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And he did like a little twerk in them. That's
yeah, a little.
A little twerk.
I was like, someone is a fan of Lizzo because he was like really twerking for real.
So during the pageant, the guys do their speedo walks. Let's see, Luke S., he's the DC political campaign dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah, politician, organizer for Democrats.
Yep, he's out there with his, what do they call this, a farmer's tan? What is the one where their legs are super white?
Yeah, where you have, it's like a t-shirt
tan. But on his legs.
Yeah.
Let's see, now your boy Mike, I like chest hair. His chest hair looked kind of dry. Do you notice it?
What do you mean dry?
It looked like very
dry,
curly and dry. Like it needed... like
okay,
some oils
right.
on it to relax the curl. I don't know.
Let's not go that he now he needs shea moisture on
yes,
his chest hair.
It looked dry.
Like, oh my gosh.
I mean, other than that, he had a really nice body. He did his little twerk. Let's see. Jed. Now Jed, he's the Nashville singer, songwriter guy. He unexpectedly had a really nice body.
Very nice body. Yeah.
Looked,
he was the like kind of thick
like a
one,
thicker
right?
kind of body. It didn't match what I thought his body would look like at all, nor did it match his face either.
Not at all. No, because his face is like
it was
teeny.
A small little face, but his body was like not ripped, but like bulky in like a nice way. Very unexpected.
Yeah.
And then he was followed up by Luke P, who is like quintessential like gym
like,
buff jacked guy. I personally prefer Jed's body, you know.
Me too.
But Luke P, all the guys were like, oh man, he looks great, like we're embarrassed going up after him. But I think that's like, you know how guys and women we like see bodies differently. I think guys
differently.
Look up to like ripped buff gym cut up guys, mm-hmm. but that person oh, yeah, is not
for sure.
my jam.
Yeah.
Muscles are nice, but I don't know. His was too like bodybuilder looking for me.
Yeah, his like no offense to any of the guys listening, but when guys have those really big shoulders and their waist yeah. looks really tiny, that always for me is I was like, eh, yeah. your waist like can't be like tinier so than mine. That's a problem. And your
legs,
for me.
You can't be skipping leg day. You have Don't to match skip the upper leg body. Day. Hate triangle body men. Talent mm-hmm. competition. These guys ain't doing shit. Somebody unicycled. Somebody. Mm-hmm. Juggled. Jed, who actually has a talent, sang right. and played guitar. And he made up a little song. It was like mm-hmm. a little R&B little tune to it.
It was cute.
Jed has a little mm-hmm. voice on him. I know you were trying to clown him last episode. He does. Has a little voice on him.
Well, because he didn't do his warm-ups last episode. But this episode, he did good. Was he the one who was singing?
What?
It was either Alaska
yes,
or
it was
I forget their names, but he was like, "I love you like Kung Fu Panda."
Yeah, they're like harmonizing.
Yeah, I was crying laughing.
But yeah, Jed has a little voice on him. Now Luke P. Why is he like this?
Well, why is his talent just talking? He couldn't. Like, at least write a poem. I would have at least accepted a poem.
That's what I thought it was going to be. I thought he was going to go into a poem.
Yes.
Instead, Luke got mm-hmm. up there and just did this creepy-ass speech, which I'm still trying to find what the talent was in this. And he said, quote, "I already gave you a piece of my heart, and I hope in the future I can give you all of it. I can't believe I'm saying this right now because it may be too soon, but Hannah, I'm genuinely starting to fall in love with you."
First of all, what piece of heart is have you given Hannah?
You just arrived at like the house.
Know, because that means your heart is three pieces.
Yeah. No.
Like, no. That was crazy. And then she was like smiling. Loving. I was like, Hannah, he's yes. right now.
She was loving every moment of it. After he did his little speech, he walked up to the judge's table and kissed her. I mean, this mm-hmm. has to be the quickest a guy has ever dropped, "I'm falling in love with you." Episode 2
ever
on the mm-hmm. first group date. Are you serious? Mm-hmm. He reminds me of this is more like an inside joke between you and I don't know if everybody even knows this movie, but do you remember the Lifetime movie No One Would Tell, the Fred Savage one that we watched?
Yes. Jesus.
Shout out to anyone who has like a thing for cheesy Lifetime movies. That is Justine and I's like favorite thing. There was a great one from the 90s starring Fred Savage and DJ from Full mm-hmm. House. And he plays like this captain of the football team, Meathead, who ends up becoming this abusive, controlling ass, violent boyfriend. And Luke P just gives me all of those mm-hmm. vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, true. Yeah, like this is definitely the prequel to someone who is emotionally abusive.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Or like at the very least, extremely mm-hmm. controlling.
Yes.
At the
Which
very
I think
least.
With the previews, we see he's going to exhibit some yeah. of those tendencies right on time. So,
uh-huh.
But in the meantime, mm-hmm. Miss Hannah here is eating up.
She's so dumb that she doesn't
know. Have no experience yet to know this is some bullshit. She's not reading through the signs. Yeah. She's just hearing "I love you" from a guy that she's attracted to, and she's like just falling for this foolishness. So yeah, all of the guys, all of America, well, everybody was creeped out except for Hannah B, who's eating every bit of this up. And
oh
Luke P ended up winning the pageant. That
I
wasn't
need to
a
know
talent.
Why. I need Hannah's commentary. Why did he win?
Why did he win? Jed got robbed. It should have been Jed.
Yes, it absolutely should have been Jed.
He was the only one that got up there and shared an actual skill.
Yep.
And at least in our
His
opinion,
catwalk
he had a better body. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So how Luke P won, I don't know. It was annoying to see him get that validation and just see
it
his
was.
Head just continuing to grow larger and larger. time for the after party thing with all the guys. Mm-hmm. And each of the guys are chatting in their confessionals about how they just all call bullshit on Luke P.
Hate Luke.
Cannot understand how you can be falling in love and has the nerve to even say it to her. So Luke, of course, grabs her first for some one-on-one time.
Oh, God.
This is going to be a theme. He's that guy. Mm-hmm. Soon as he leaves, all the guys are talking shit about him. They can't stand this dude. Mm-hmm. So Luke, you know, he sits with Hannah, says fresh after he just told her that he's fallen in love with her. And he asks her, you know, how do you feel? And Hannah's like, you know, I haven't even known this man for more than 48 hours. You know, how do you know? How are you so sure? And as she's asking these questions, she is cheesing from ear ear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. Because she believes him.
And this is a moment where all other women, I feel like, would be alarmed and, like, turned off.
Right.
Or questioning, kind of want to know, where is this guy's psyche at? Like,
also, her timeline is off. Like, you haven't known him for more than, like, 20 minutes.
Yes, exactly. Because, granted, yes, it's day two of the show, but you only really sat with him for, 20 minutes. If that.
Right. It's not like you guys were texting and on the phone all night for 2 days. No, like,
absolutely not.
No.
So, yeah, she needs to put that into perspective as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Luke P just... he just lays it on thick constantly.
It's so thick.
So thick. Peanut butter. He said, I started developing feelings for you before I even met you. Mm. I've never felt a connection like this for anyone in my entire life. And then repeats again, I'm starting to fall in love with you.
Hannah, that's not a sign that he came here for fame.
Thank you. Or that he is infatuated with this thing that he saw on television.
Right. He's studying you, and I don't know what he was studying. Well, I guess he just wants to be on the show, so he's just saying what she wants to hear.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
But
And again, Hannah, cheesing from ear to ear, does not question anything he says, doesn't pick apart what he says.
Nope.
Because the minute he says, I started feelings for you before I even met you, I could say, like, so where did that start? So you watched me on the show? How did you start feeling? Like, there's so many backup, follow-up questions to this, but she ain't have a single one, so.
Mm-mm.
In her confessional, she says, you know, he told me he's falling in love with me, and I believe him.
Mm.
And then she says, part of me wants to double down and just be like, it's him. Because he's saying everything my heart wants to hear.
That was so. That whole conversation with herself was so disturbing to me.
Very.
Oh my God! It made me feel like she was like in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like writing hearts and Luke P all over her notebook. Over some, he's like the senior who gave her like a
Valentine carnation.
Yeah. Outside the lunchroom, and now he's like everything she could ever think about.
Oh, right.
Ridiculous.
It just showed a lot about her.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't have a Hannah found her words moment, but Hannah got my Becky of the Week in this moment.
Dang.
Becky of the Week is not even for this recap.
It's not.
That's for The Bachelor, but I had to whip it back out because this is the Beckiest of all Becky moments was her right here just eating up all of these bullshit-ass words that this dude is blurting out on day two.
Mm-hmm. And then wanting to repeat them. Like, what?
Babies holding hands. Remember I said this last season?
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite lines from HBO Girls where Adam says, you guys are like babies holding hands. So like two kids, toddlers on the playground talking about they're in love. This is my boyfriend for, you know, the lunch period. So stupid. So Luke, he goes back to the guys and your boy Mike confronts him right away. He says, how can you say you're falling in love with her? This is blasphemy to me. And you've had less than 2 hours with her, and in the history of man, I've never heard anything like this. Shout out to Mike.
I
love
know.
The way he puts it. Luke, you know, it's in my personality that I'm a fighter and I'm going to go after things I want, which is foreshadow for the season to come, mm-hmm. where we see a lot of crazy is going to come out of this guy. Now, Jed, who should have won, finally got his one-on-one time. And they had a nice little connection, I feel like. Mm-hmm. He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
I think I like him.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. She said, Jed calms me. And then says, Luke P. takes my breath a little bit.
Oh, my God.
Yikes. Date rose time. She thankfully awards it to Jed. And all the guys clapped. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I thought that was a little weird.
They don't usually clap, do they?
The girls don't do that, so...
The girls definitely... I don't think I've ever seen the guys do that, too. Like, yeah. Jed got the rose, and they all just, like, give a round of applause.
Yeah, it's weird.
It was kind of weird. Oh, God. Back at the mansion, date card arrives. It's a one-on-one date for Tyler G.
Tyler G! So excited.
Not expecting him to get the one-on-one. Tyler G, if y'all don't remember, he's the... dream analysis, mm-hmm. like clinical psychology
with a boat.
That's the part Justine remembers. He got a boat. Oh, Lord. So his date card says, falling in love can be messy. So the next day, time for Tyler G's date, Hannah shows up in a... Her outfit is cute. Like
you
a
thought
cute,
it was
all-white
cute?
Outfit.
Oh, my God. I thought she looked like an American Girl doll.
American Girl doll.
Yeah.
She had the high pony. She looked super young.
Yeah, and those and that shirt with the, like, 5 stars on it. I was like, what?
Oh, yeah, that shirt got... That was, like, from Limited 2.
Literally from Justice.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. Mm-hmm. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. Mm. What about you?
Yeah, I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which you know is very important to me.
Uh-huh.
But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, mm-hmm. especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. Mm-hmm. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
Mm-hmm. It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helped me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
Oh, like, this is so childish. What do you have on right now?
I like the little, I like the white jeans with the white thing, though.
Okay.
So she comes to the mansion. She sits and hangs out with all the guys for a bit. And then suddenly a helicopter arrives, and it's, you know, time for their date. Mm-hmm. It's their ride. Hannah says, Tyler G looks like Tim Tebow, but hotter. Kind of agree.
Can we not compare the two of them? Like,
I bet you know what I'm...
Tyler G is so much cuter than Tim Tebow.
He's in the same vein of Tim Tebow, though.
I guess. And you know what? You know what? Let me not... Because Hannah probably thinks that Tim Tebow is fine.
Right,
so yeah. Let me, like, curve that perspective a bit.
Curve that yeah. a bit. But yeah, he does look Tim Tebow-esque, but better looking.
Mm-hmm.
A good little comparison.
And my coworker and I were looking at the cast bios today, and she was like, did this man get his wisdom teeth pulled out the same day they took these pictures? Like, his cast bio photo
is just dumb swollen.
It's huge.
His wisdom teeth got a root canal the same day.
The same Shit. Day. Like,
that's true, because on the show, his face was way more slim and angular.
Yes, yes.
Than in the bios, where it was like kind of puffy.
Yeah, in and in his Instagram too. His Instagram is Instagram is quality, guys.
Oh, is it? Mm-hmm. Look. Mm-hmm. He's cute. He's really good looking.
Mm-hmm.
From that. So Hannah, she says she's looking for a manly man who isn't afraid to get down and dirty.
Which is a little.
Yeah.
I don't really like how she said that.
The manly man thing. Yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah.
And they find out for their date they're gonna go ride around on dirt bike. Those dirt bike
ATVing.
ATVs.
This is like my dream date. To be in like an all white oh, really? Outfit and then go ATVing with a pink helmet on. Like, oh my god, I would love this. What?
I did like that she showed up specifically in the white because they knew it was gonna get dirty. So yeah, they're riding around the ATVs, going through mud and stuff. Eventually they sit and have a little chat and Hannah just basically kind of recaps how, you know, her one-on-one date with Colton went, how she was nervous, couldn't be herself, yada yada.
And this is where Hannah got my Hannah used her words moment, because she finally found them. After a whole season, she finally found them. She was carrying this whole date, it seemed like. She was, like, really doing a lot of the directing, which is nice. You know, that's fine.
That's a good point.
And that's what she should do as the lead of the show. And I guess was able to be herself a little bit more. But she, you know what? She asked for what she wanted, and she was clear and concise. And I liked that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So she got
it was good. She made a little connection or recollection. Reflection,
yes,
I guess,
yes.
To her time at Colton's, was able to kind of like learn from it and now can talk about it a little bit more articulately.
Ooh, this is what we get for making fun of this girl. Ooh,
I know.
Oh god,
so how articulate I am. Anyway, though, she, so Tyler says, you know, I'm going to try my best to be real. This day's been incredible. And then they cuddle, and we learned absolutely nothing about Tyler in that little opening scene. But, all right. Time for the nighttime portion. They have dinner at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. And Hannah, this date in general was just very frustrating. We learned nothing about Tyler G.
Oh, my God.
Nothing. He's the first guy to get a one-on-one date. He had a very intriguing bio to us. He has a whole career, a side job as a dream analysis interpreter or something. Why didn't we learn any of that on this date? Why was that not talked about at all? Why was there no footage about that conversation? Nothing. We learned nothing. So Hannah, she says, you know, you stepped out the limo. I knew you were a good guy. Tyler, which he said multiple times, that means the world to me. You noticed that? He said that same phrase at least three times on the date. Yeah, it was strange. That means the world to me. And then he goes on saying he's not worried about being vulnerable or looking cool. Life's too short. Like all these weird like,
Hobby Lobby phrases.
Hobby Lobby phrases, exactly. Then Tyler, he actually finally asked a good question. I appreciated this question. He said, you know, what do you want to do in this world? What are your hopes and dreams? Great question. Followed up by a pretty lame answer.
Very terrible answer.
Where we learned nothing more about Hannah. Still don't know what her hopes and dreams are, because she repeated the same lame shit she's been saying. which is that she wants a family. Mm. She wants to be a mom. She wants to have her own career. Doesn't say in what field, industry, or what the fuck she'd be doing. And that she wants to, quote, give back tenfold.
To who?
Who? What causes? Like, what are you passionate about?
Anything.
We learn nothing. Date Rose comes out. She gives him the date rose, and that was
obviously
date,
so. Yeah.
So back at the house, it's like nothing to say about their date because we learned nothing new about him or her. We just watched two like pretty people sit at a table and talk about it's so nice to be vulnerable, but share nothing vulnerable at all. Back at the house, date card arrives. A whole bunch of guys going on the date. Devin, Mateo, Darren, Connor, Jay, Kevin, Dustin, Tyler C, Joey, Peter, just everybody. It says, let's get our love on track. Two people's names were not on a card this week. That's Cam, the freestyle rap dude.
ABC.
Fucking annoying. ABC, as he refers to himself. And my frat house nightmare, Connor S. Both of them, no dates this week. Next day, time for the group date. Now, little Miss Hannah shows up in her little pleather booty shorts, coochie cutters. Girl, where are you going? Her little poom shorts, her little...
I was like, okay.
It's like, what do they call that? Like liquid leather? Or it's like pleather or whatever material that is. Lycra?
Lycra?
What is that material? I call it pleather.
No, those were because they were like shiny. Yeah.
Like very shiny, yeah.
They were even that fake leather, like polyurethane or whatever they call it. Like.
Straight chemicals.
Oh my god, and that to me, you know what I saw as soon as, and someone else, please let me know if you also thought this. When I see those little tight poom poom shorts like that, I just immediately think yeast infection. I can't take it.
Mm-hmm. All
sweaty foof. Oh my god.
Oof. Yikes. So Hannah's, looking cute or whatever in them shorts.
Yeah.
And the guys show up to this big roller ring and they learn that they're going to be doing roller derby.
Which
I feel like they have every season.
And this is obviously my Escape to Wakanda moment. Get me the entire fuck out of here. Okay? The whole fuck out of here. Absolutely not. Nope.
Oh, God. Roller derby. Yeah, that's like a bachelor
staple.
Classic date. Yeah, shows up every now and then. So the guys, they put on their roller skates, all their pads. They all suck. They're all falling everywhere. The only guy with actual, roller skating experience was Darren.
Darren, yeah.
Black dude, was he like a ex-NFL player?
Yeah, he definitely played football. But I'd like to know how that relates to roller skating. But unfortunately, we know nothing about anyone, so we don't know.
We have no idea. But he was mysteriously very good on the skates. Connor J, cute little Connor.
Aww.
Love him. He, busted his ass, and so
he felt real bad.
He felt real bad. And got to sit out, but got a little extra time with Hannah and all that cute stuff. They kind of practice, and then it's time for the Derby Dudes Derby competition. Orange team versus green team. I still didn't really understand the objective of, how someone won. I kind of looked too
No, now. Yeah, I don't understand this game at all. It seemed like they were going around 500,000 times around this ring. And everybody was falling. I don't know how you win.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Very strange. But anyways, Dustin, black dude with the nose ring, he got injured. So I don't know if he broke his ankle or sprained it or something. So he got for real hurt, had to go out. And then Darren won it for the green team.
Yep.
Everybody was flailing in the circle, falling left and right, zipping around that track.
Mm-hmm.
So that team won. Time for the nighttime portion of their date. Tyler C., 1940s quarterback.
Yes, 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 yes.
Monotone as hell.
Uh-huh. Can't really tell if he's angry, happy, sad.
Happy, sad.
Don't know.
He claimed it was an amazing day.
Yeah.
No inflection. It was an amazing day with Hannah. Just to hold her hand and go skating around the ring. It was
Why
unreal.
Are you reading it like that?
Because that's how he sounded. How are you going to tell me it's an amazing day and have not an ounce of excitement in your voice?
Yeah, none.
He was so monotone. Whew. So they all kind of gather. Hannah, she pulls Dustin first. So Dustin mm-hmm. was out with the injury. Dustin's nice. He seems like a nice guy. Nice. Not going to last very long because he doesn't really have much.
Absolutely
his personality
not.
Can't compete in this house.
No, it can't, and is not what she's looking for.
That too. No. She's easy. She needs something like big, loud personality that kind of captivates the room, and it's like a bright, shiny thing that she can like run after.
Yes.
Like very easily impressed.
Yeah.
He's a bit more reserved, quiet, probably has a lot of good substance under there, but she ain't have time to dig and find it out.
So. No, and probably won't be interested or turned on by that, so bye.
Right, so bye. But she does validate him and says she notices him and, you know, whatever. And they kiss. Peter the pilot. Talking yet again about being a
being
pilot.
Being a pilot.
Can we learn anything else about this guy? My God. He tells her, you know, he's been spending a lot of time working on his career, and so now he's ready to find the one, and, you know, is ready to have this amazing experience, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, which I don't really believe, but...
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about Peter yet.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I just... don't believe that you're ready to prioritize a relationship when you fly all over the world for a living and you're 27. I just don't believe that.
Yeah. What? Email us if you have dated a pilot.
Yes.
Or know someone within the pilot industry, how they date. Yeah. They'd be really curious because you're always on the move. From his cast bio, he's still living at home, which we deduced is probably because he... fly so much that
like,
he doesn't,
why pay rent?
So how does that career work with like settling down? You literally live you know, four nights out the week you're like flying around. So more to come from Peter. I think he's gonna be around for a while, so
he'll be around
to learn a little bit more. Now Garrett 2.0 is all excited to talk to Hannah, talking about he can't wait to talk to Hannah. And suddenly we see Cam freestyling, talking in the first person, Cam.
To himself.
To himself. Shows up to the group date rose with a bouquet of flowers.
Oh my God.
He says, I'll always be Cam, ABC, always be Cam. Now, he doesn't walk in front of all the guys. He kind of, like, diverts straight to, like, where Hannah's at.
Yeah.
And Hannah is sitting with, I'm going to call him Dominican Devin, because I swear he's
doing. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Sitting with Dominican Devin.
Yes.
They're getting their one-on-one time. And Cam comes around the corner. And
did Hannah look pissed to you? She looked really pissed to me.
She looked kind of ticked off or just confused.
Yeah.
Lame, dumbass Devin stupidly got out his seat.
Didn't do anything.
Didn't do nothing. Cam is not even on this date. You for damn sure don't need to get out your seat. It wasn't some other guy on the date coming to interrupt your time. It's somebody who's not even on a date this week coming to interrupt your time. And you had the nerve to get out your seat.
Oh my God, he should have been like Wills with Becca.
I was just thinking that. Stand his ground and not move. You're not supposed to be on the date, so I'm not moving out the seat. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
That's it. So Devin, dummy, gets up and walks back to the guys and immediately goes and complains to the guys. That shit's so annoying to me. Like, you get up and you go back and complain to everybody else about him interrupting your time when you let that happen, but okay.
Right.
Cam and Hannah sit and chat. So when he first walked up, she looked kind of confused and pissed. But then when they sit and have a chat, she's like fine.
That's the thing. It's this weird, I don't know if it's a Southern thing that she's like always polite all the time.
Yeah.
Because I think I saw that multiple times this episode where someone would come up to her in the middle of her sentence and the, like just interrupting a moment that they should not have been in. Uh-huh. And she would be like, hi, and then just sit down and talk to them anyway.
With a big smile.
And I think the fact that she's from the South and a pageant girl is like this deadly combination her just never standing up for herself.
Like constant perma smile and politeness. And so yeah, her and Cam sitting, chatting. She tells him, thanks for coming to see me tonight. It was a good surprise. She kind of consoles. She kind of consoles him about, you know, how she understands it's hard being in the house, not getting a date. Mm-hmm. And then they kiss.
Yeah.
How does he get to come up on a date, get a kiss, get validation, and get thanks for coming to see me tonight? Like, he didn't deserve not one of those things.
Nothing. He didn't deserve a conversation.
Not even the conversation. Mm-hmm. But definitely not no damn validation. Shit. Let him sit in the house and squirm. What the hell?
Right.
So, Cam gets his moment, says goodbye to Hannah, and now he's outside, so outside the venue where they're at. Mm-hmm. He's doing an interview with the cameras. As he's talking about, you know, Hannah, his feelings for her, or whatever the fuck. Tyler C., 1940s quarterback, comes creeping up behind him.
When did you spot that Tyler was walking behind him?
It's so funny. You see, like, an image from, like, 50 yards down, just slowly getting bigger and bigger, and it's, like, him getting closer
literally
to the camera.
Literally, like, Jaws. Like, literally, like, dunna, 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 like...
That's so
cool. Oh my god, it was such a build-up to him coming up there.
Such a build-up.
Oh my gosh.
So Tyler slowly walks towards the camera, confronts Cam, and I was hoping for like a nice big confrontation, but his voice is so damn monotone.
That and his like his energy didn't match his words.
No.
Like I felt the intimidating aura of him coming up to that man and like patting him on the back, being like, hey buddy, what's up? And I thought he was gonna like literally wring him out like a wash rag, and he didn't really do anything.
No.
So he got my nigga you ain't shit moment, because he had just way too much build up for that, and I was expecting way more and got nothing. So, sorry Tyler
truly. it was very, his confrontation was very meek. His tone is so monotone. He kind of has this energy, like, his, you ever notice his head is, like, constantly kind of, like, cocked to the side?
Yes, yes.
You notice that, right?
Yes, it's like follows the curl, the front curl in his head.
It's always going that way,
it's always just swaying that way.
It's always kind of cocked to the side. He kind of has this, like, blasé, like, I don't have to try hard, just, like, attitude about him. Mm-hmm. I can't stand him. Cam said, you know, anybody could have done what I did. We don't have to ask for permission, which is kind of true. Like, Cam and his delivery and his whole being is very annoying, but I always kind of appreciate the people who carve out time, which, as annoying as Cam is, it's true.
He's right.
He's right. I can't stand the dude, but, like, I always appreciate the people who carve out time and be creative. This is not the way. Him full-on showing up on a date is, like, a little bit too much. But he's right. I don't have to ask permission to do anything. I'm not here for y'all. Anybody could have done what I did.
Well, plain and simple. I don't necessarily agree with that. There's someone who comes up to him later. I think his name is Kevin. I still barely know who Kevin is. I feel like they wouldn't have given Kevin a bouquet and a ride to the group date.
Yeah,
you know, you got to be like a special kind of personality for them to allow you to do those things.
I don't think it's
everybody's privilege to do that, but I understand what he was trying to say.
Yeah, that's a good point, though. There's producer picks, mm-hmm. producer favorites. They get to do things that other people can't really mm-hmm. do. So I could see the guys, if they're already picking up on that kind of energy,
yes.
like Cam's getting favoritism or whatever from the producers, mm-hmm. then I would 100% be like super pissed and totally understand.
Yeah.
But also I see Cam's mm-hmm. playing. I think he said to Kevin, he's like, y'all's toes don't matter to me. Because Kevin was like, you stepping on people's toes. He's like, I don't give a shit about anybody's yeah, toes here like, besides Hannah's. Right. Again, very yep. true. It's like that quintessential, I didn't come here to make friends. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate that attitude that people on reality shows come with, but it's like, it's yeah. true. I came here with one purpose, mm-hmm. and it wasn't to be like, you know, fucking hanging out with you guys all day. Yeah. Anyways, back inside, unfortunately, Hannah's time with the guys comes to an end. She runs out of time, and it looks like a couple guys didn't even get to talk mm-hmm. to her. And of course they're all blaming Cam, which it didn't even seem like Cam was talking to her for all that long.
It doesn't, yeah.
But apparently like five people didn't get to talk to her because Cam stole everybody's time. God. And the date rose went to Dustin, mm-hmm. Black guy with the nose ring who like injured himself. And she basically described it as a pity rose
yeah, for him getting injured much.
On the date. Mm-hmm. So that's basically how mm-hmm. she said it. Oh, Lord. Time for the rose ceremony. Mm-hmm. Hannah, I really liked her dress.
Love.
Okay. I was like, what is she about to say? No. Love or despise?
Loved her dress. Loved her makeup,
loved
too.
It. Okay.
She looked really, really good. She looked fresher, mm-hmm. a little fresher than usual.
Yeah. It was a bomb dress.
You know
it was
what I was wondering,
sleeve.
Though? What do you wear underneath a dress yeah. like that?
Nothing,
right? Because
it had cutouts all along the side.
Yeah, like your boobs?
What underwear
do you
could you wear with it?
Just sticky boobs?
Sticky, yeah, probably a lot of glue tape. Yeah. Her boobs are, like, small enough yeah. that they could probably hold them up with some type of tape. But she was definitely going commando because there was cutouts
yes.
all down the dress. And I didn't see any, like, underwear line or anything.
No,
like
no. And I feel like I saw, like, her belly button through the dress.
Yeah, I was like, it was cute.
It was.
It looked really great on
it
her.
Did.
I love that mm-hmm. dress, yeah. So Hannah shows up looking bomb, but she looks pretty, like, down in her face. So she comes into the house, the guys are all gathered around, and she immediately starts crying.
Sobbing, yep.
And I thought, I was like, damn, does she have, like, a family member that died?
Yes,
or, like, something serious happened?
Yeah, I thought she was going to quit the whole show. Like,
I thought she was making an announcement
yeah.
that she had to leave
yes.
or something major came up.
Yeah.
The way that she, like, came in with that energy mm-hmm. and started crying. Well, Anna says, you know, I want to be real with you guys. I couldn't have asked for a better group of guys to make me feel deserving. And I'm just overwhelmed by the emotions and how lucky I am. It's all so scary making these decisions. And, you know, I want to find my Mr. Right. Cheers to an amazing night.
Again, we said this last season. A therapist needs to be on staff.
Because it is day two. And she is breaking down tears to the point that I thought somebody in her family died. All because she's still standing up here and talk about for the millionth time how she's so lucky and so blessed mm-hmm. and so overwhelmed and oh my god,
like
emotions are already all over the place.
A wreck. Like, why are her mm-hmm. nails done? Why is her face done? Her dress is beautiful, tailored. Her hair is done, and her feelings are completely spiraling out of control. Like, why? I would
on day two.
On day two. Oh my god.
Oh my god. Oh Lord. So Hannah, she says in her confessional, you know, I'm a strong, emotional, real, bold woman who's not afraid to lay it all out there. They are laying it on so thick
mm-hmm.
with Hannah being, I mean, the words strong and real and bold.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have played a drinking game to those three words in this mm-hmm. episode. That they just keep trying to throw out these buzzwords for us to kind of, like, resonate with them and Hannah.
I don't know why.
But the way she broke down in this here episode.
Yeah.
Strong emotionally, not quite there yet.
Nope.
Real bold woman. Bold, okay. Real,
yeah.
I still don't know who this woman
right.
is. Afraid to lay it all out there. Okay.
Lay what all out where?
Where? Lay what all out where? Oh, first person to pull her aside is Connor S. Strapboy. He didn't get a date this week. She gives him validation, tells him, like, I know there's a connection. I enjoy being with you. Mm-hmm. And then they have a little kiss. Now, Kevin, who is like, that's the guy that we said from Cast Files. Looks like the villain from a Lifetime movie. He's like creeping in the window, stealing underwear.
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of creepy looking. Mm-hmm. Anyways, he pulls her aside. They go outside and have a little chat. And he tells her, you know, a great way to release pent-up emotions is to scream. Mm-hmm. And then they scream together. I thought that was a great idea.
It was. That was a good one. That was a good on-the-fly idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a good scream feels amazing, particularly in this suffocating-ass experience that she's in with producers and people all over the place. Yeah. Letting out a good scream, I'm sure, felt very cathartic. So now Kevin, I feel like we were finally going to start to learn something about somebody. Because if you listen carefully, you could hear him say, you know, I'm a behavioral specialist for the Army. Like, he was just going into it. And then suddenly from around the corner, here comes Cam. Oh, my God. Cam rolls up to steal time again and says, I have something planned for all three of us. And then whisks Kevin and Hannah away.
This was weird, Kevin. Why did you go?
Why did you go, Kevin? What? And why, Cam, are you involving... Like, anyways, he whisks them away to this whole setup of, like, pillows and roses and candles and a little heart. And then he, like, presented Hannah with chicken nuggets and honey mustard. And Kevin was just sitting there off to the side, like, sitting there on the pillows with them.
So weird.
Just looking weird and like a chump. Mm-hmm. And this was my Escape to Wakanda moment. Because it was very cringy. The whole thing from Cam was just, the whole thing was corny and whack.
Yeah. And does she love chicken nuggets? What happened here?
I don't know. I don't know. We don't know nothing about her. So maybe she said it once and I don't know.
Maybe.
But Kevin was just sitting there looking so dumb.
Sorry.
And just sat there. And then he got up and, like, took the chicken nuggets inside. And Cam was like, thanks, dude. See ya. Like,
yeah.
How you sit there and why you let yourself be subjected to that embarrassing shit?
Like, oh, get played like that. Like,
so well. Yeah, he got played.
Yeah.
And like clockwork, he goes back inside to complain to the guys. Oh, God. Next, for a little one-on-one time, Tyler C. He says to her in his same flat voice, this guy is so flat. He's just so dry.
He's flat, and then he says the same shit. The things that he's saying are boring.
He says, seeing you the first night was like playing football, coming out the tunnel, kind of like made a football analogy.
He's definitely one of those athletes who everything is about being an athlete and being a team sport. Like, absolutely everything in life.
His whole identity is wrapped up into that.
Yep.
Just his whole attitude, the head cocked to the side, just little effort and everything, just his whole being. He's definitely a guy who's never had to try for a girl in his life. Never has had to work for a girl. He has a face that girls just kind of like, just flock to. These type of guys fascinate me.
Do they?
They really do. Because imagine most guys would say that over life as a guy, over their time as a guy, you deal with rejection, you know? You ask girls out, you get let down, you kind of build thick skin through that. Guys with faces like this, who are just very conventionally good-looking, and you just know that he will never have... He's been racking up girls since the sixth grade. Like, he's never had a shortage of girls. I'm just so curious as to, like, their psyche.
Yeah.
Like, their viewpoint of, like, women in particular. Their viewpoint of other men. Just the way he conducts himself is so, like, effortless.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm so intrigued by people like this, just like how they view the world, because mm-hmm. they've lived in a world where like their looks have gotten them very far and mm-hmm. like people cater to them because of their face.
Right. Right.
And like, he's not even trying at all. And Hannah is already like falling for him.
Like, yeah. She's already like talking for him.
Mm-hmm. I love the way you look at me and like just all googly eyed. And...
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's giving us nothing.
Like, no, nothing. And I don't think there's that much to give, which is totally fine. I don't think there's much.
Yeah. So, keep watching him. Mm-hmm. Luke P now. Luke P gets his time with Hannah. They're in some little back room. He's giving her a massage.
This was so disturbing to me. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Gives her a massage. Claims he's good with his hands. Mr. Church Boy, Jesus came and talked to me in the shower. Stop fucking women. He's in here with the sexual innuendos here.
Why is he doing all this?
Why are you doing all this? So Hannah, she asks, after he gives her a massage, she asks him if he can undress because she wants mm-hmm. to give him a massage, and they're all making out and getting into mm-hmm. it. And then in walks Jed. Little Jed with his little rose pinned to his lapel. He's safe, and he just wanted to... He was so nice. He was giving people their time, get their time to talk with Hannah.
Yeah.
And then he, like, you know, decides to go and find her, and he walks in on Luke P shirtless, and Hannah's, like, flustered, and they're, mm-hmm. like, just freshly finished making up. So he kind of just, like, stands there awkwardly and then says he'll leave and go wait for her. He goes and sits by the fire. Hannah eventually comes out to meet him, and he plays it off cool. Like, he's grown. He don't give a shit about what he just saw. Yeah. Whatever. She was so just, like, beside herself. Like, I'm so awkward. Oh, my God. What do I do? What do I do? Really, like, getting hard on herself about,
mm-hmm.
like, he didn't see anything, really, besides Luke shirtless, and it looked kind of, like, questionable.
Which looked weird. Like, yeah.
It looked weird. But they weren't, like, fucking rolling around and humping mm-hmm. each other. Like, I don't know. So, he played it cool. And, he just proved himself to still be a very nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Time for the rose ceremony. Tyler C.
First rose.
Quarterback. First rose. Garrett. Kushner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Connor S. My frat house nightmare.
God.
Luke P, everyone fucking hates. Like, it was just like one horrible person after the next. Roses. Our boy Mike got a rose.
Yeah, he did.
Peter the pilot got a rose.
John Paul Jones is still getting roses.
Yeah, he's still there. What the fuck? Joey, dude from Cast Bios, who in Australia.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him at all. Bunch of roses, and then the final rose went obviously to Cam. Another week, another producer pick.
Yep.
Or actually, she might actually like this dude.
Yeah, maybe.
About it. Yeah. So unfortunately, we have to say goodbye to some POCs.
Yeah, this is really sad.
Connor J. And Darren, who fucking won the group date the green team. Hello. He's going home the same day.
And he's like a former football player and IT manager who roller skates. I need to know more about this.
Exactly. Well, we won't get to see him. He's leaving. And then some white guy that I literally never saw in my entire life.
No. There were some guys this episode that I was like, who the hell is that?
So he went home, didn't even see him, didn't miss him, nothing. Mm-hmm. So Cam decides to give the final toast and says, to Hannah Ayala?
I don't know. I don't.
Ayala Van Zandt? Hannah Ayala, and then said, that's my last name.
Mm. And all the guys are like, nah, we're not going to do this tonight.
Not cheers to that, bro. No. So then all the guys depart and seemingly go off to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And Hannah, she heads off to go do some interviews in the little, you know, confessional room. And she is literally mid-interview when Luke motherfucking P barges into the room. Can this girl get any alone time?
None. None.
That shit would get on my nerves. Mm-hmm. This is my one little time to do my little interview and not be around 45 men, and here you come again. But of course, she's happy to see him.
It seems like she's like putting on this like, hi, this like weird, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure she was happy to see him because she likes him a lot, but I can't.
You're right though. When he first walked in, she kind of has this face like, same like when Cam came in, she kind of looks like confused, kind of mad, and then she kind of just like goes with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't actually know which feeling is hers, which is like being dictated by being nice to the guy. I don't know. So anyways, he barged into the room. She's happy to see him. And she said she was sad she didn't get to talk to him more. Just giving this guy way too much validation.
Yeah, way too, yeah.
We still have like 20 guys here, Hannah. You need to stop. Stop, stop, stop. So she sits on his lap and he just continues to blurt out some more sweet, absolute nothings.
Nothing.
Time stops. It's magical with you. Everything I'm telling you is 100% real. You can trust me. You do not know this man. When he looks at you and says, you can trust me, no. You have not earned my trust.
Right.
I don't even know your last name. What does P stand for? Was it trust you? And she's just sitting there eating it all up. They followed it up with a hardcore makeout in front of the camera. I mean, literally, cameras, producers, lights, all kind of shit.
Can you imagine how going at it. Fucking awkward that was?
So awkward. She was mid-interview. That means a producer was sitting there on a chair right
in
there.
Front of her. Yeah.
And now the two of them are tonguing down. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Question I have for you. Mm. Because Luke P is telling her that he's basically in love with her. Mm-hmm. Do you believe in love at first sight?
Not like this, no.
Okay.
Not like this.
In which way? You think it's possible? In which context?
I think it's possible if you, like, go on a first date with somebody and then you're, like, out all night and you talk on the phone, you can't stop talking to them and all this other, you know, all this other stuff. But even then, you don't, I think because I've had too many people who I thought I've known in the past turn out to be completely different. Mm-hmm. I am a little bit jaded from that. And so if you don't know somebody's like flaws and, like, you know, what will make you mad about them and then you accept it and say like, okay, that's cool. Which you don't learn in at first sight.
Right.
Then you can't really be in love with them. I really don't think that. So.
Yeah.
Extreme lust, yes, but not love.
Extreme lust, strong feelings of some sort.
Yeah.
But love, you can't love somebody off of literally just seeing their face. As you said, you don't know what they've been through. Yeah. You don't know what makes them mad. You don't know what makes them sad. Mm. You don't know how they operate. How can that be love?
Yeah.
So Luke P, not buying it at all.
Nope.
And that was the episode, friends. We did get a little preview for next week. Mm-hmm. So we get some footage of Hannah making out with Connor S.
Blech.
We have, I know, Mike saying to her, you give me hope. Mm-hmm. We have Peter, the pilot, saying that could be my wife right there.
He's going to go far, this guy, Peter.
I think so. I really think so. Yeah. On a group date, we see Luke P starting to get jealous, seeing her kissing other guys.
Yeah.
That, like, territorial controlling shit is already starting to show its ass.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got Mike, the bone collector, sitting down with Hannah, spilling all kind of tea.
Yep.
Telling her how Cam apparently said that he's going to tell her a sad sob story to try get a pity rose.
A rose, yep.
And there's going to be some drama there with Hannah and Cam. And so, yeah, that's the episode, guys.
Yep, that's it.
As always, rate, review, subscribe, hit us up on Twitter, email, Facebook, Instagram, tag us in your stories. We had a couple email call-outs, you know, send us some emails, give us some insights.
If you dated a pilot, if you're dating in Atlanta, if you are natural in Atlanta.
All of the above. Let us know. And we'll be back next week.
Yep. See you next week, guys.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.